It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Oh, a giveaway by Benning. It's in front. They score. Oh, how unfortunate for Matt Benning. As the guy who he put it on the stick with, Claude Giroux, is not going to make a mistake. It's in the back of the net, and it's tied 2-2 at 5:22 of the second.
Have you watched us play this year?
Typically hectic?
It's not usually a clean up and down game. That's the way we play it, where things happen. It's a hockey game. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of offensive chances both ways. And they're a good team. I think we're a pretty good team, obviously. Win and loss column isn't where we want it to be, but two good teams with some creative players. And, you know, we've got some very talented players, so do they. When they're on the ice, a lot happens.
Logan Couture has got jokes, everyone. How are we all doing on this Sunday morning as we get ready for yet another Sharks game a little bit later this afternoon? And, yeah, that was another interesting game from the Sharks last night. And, you know, I'll start off talking about the obvious lack of a tripping call on Tomas Hertl that led to that goal on the breakaway that made it a 5-2 game, as opposed to the Sharks being in the position to cut that to a one-goal game, which could have given them a lot of life. David Quinn had every right to be upset. The Sharks had every right to be upset. They had every right to be pissed off and completely enraged about the non-call. However, that was not where the game hinged. That was not where the game was lost. That's where the game was put out of reach. That's where the game was really shut. The door was shut. I'll put it that way. And the Sharks, they are their own worst enemy. We heard Logan Couture talk about it in the postgame. We've heard David Quinn talk about it in the postgame. We've heard all these things where they say they are finding ways to lose. And I 100% believe that is true, because if you look at these stats for teams in the NHL scoring the first goal, that's a pretty good chance you're going to win that game. For the Sharks this year, when they score first, that is not indicative of them winning that game in the slightest. And believe me, I wish I had some answer. I wish I had some overall idea of what the Sharks can do to make things right. But that's what happens when you're finding ways to lose, and in my opinion, playing worse than what your record will allow. Now, the Sharks have had some key injuries. They've had some key misses. Not that I thought the Capo was necessarily the problem yesterday, and Aaron Dell filled in a couple nights ago and did a remarkable job, but you see the absence of Mario Ferraro. Even though there were a lot of people who were saying, oh, the Sharks, you know, have not been getting as much out of Ferraro this year, I'm like, well, you know what? He does a lot of things that don't show up on the stat sheet. Nico Sturm, I feel like his absence is definitely felt out there. I think that the Sharks have been doing a decent job of trying to dealing with their issues. And yes, injuries happen to every team in the NHL. There's no surprise about that. But when you are at a talent deficit overall, when these injuries happen, they are going to make life a little bit more difficult. They are going to make things a little bit more of a problem. And that's what we've seen with the San Jose Sharks. They are simply finding ways to shoot themselves in the foot, even when they're off to a good start. Tomas Hertl gets the team going, gets two goals in the first period, and they're up 2-1. And then you see Benning give up what we saw Tomas Hertl do the game prior, a blind pass with Drew right there, who's going to bang that home every single time. In sports, we see that there are mistakes, and then there are mistakes of a costly nature. And for the San Jose Sharks, in moments where the game could hinge, they make just absolutely dreadful mistakes. A 2-1 game where you're working on getting things clear and then you give it right to their guy in the middle of the slot, that simply can't happen. I mean, if you want to win games in the NHL, that's the type of mistake that cannot happen. And I'm not trying to come down hard on Benning, but you have to have learned from the previous game. Like, you just saw one of your best players, one of your team leaders in Tomas Hertl, make a blind pass the game before that led to the game-winning goal for Toronto. And in this instance, you have a 2-1 lead, and you've got your head down, and you're making a pass from behind the net into the middle of the ice, and you turn it over in that instance to a player who's right there ready to just bang it home. Again, you have to have learned from the previous mistake. You have to make sure that you don't do that. And unfortunately for the San Jose Sharks, the consistency with which they are making these just dastardly turnovers, they're seemingly not learning from them. I mean, I would rather play it along the wall. I would rather do anything in that instance than play it right up the middle on a blind pass. And again, I'm not trying to come down too hard on Benning. I think he's been a pretty good Shark since he showed up. He had a bad first couple of games, but since then I think he's been pretty reliable and playing some good hockey. But that's the type of mistake that you simply cannot make. And all these mistakes in the grand total are mistakes that you should not be making, but ideally you have enough to make up for it. And I know there was some relative disappointment with the penalty kill last night, but listen, if you go on the kill that often in any given game, you're going to have problems, especially against Ottawa, who have a pretty good power play. But the law of averages is going to catch up to you. I mean, you're just not going to be perfect in every given game. And for the most part this year, the Sharks' penalty kill has been phenomenal and has not been the problem. So I'm not going to walk out in the one game where they are not absolutely flawless on, you know, an East Coast road trip and or East Coast time zone road trip and say to them, oh, well, you know, this is the problem, or, you know, the penalty kill really let the Sharks down last night. Like, no, the Sharks put themselves in a bad situation to be on just a bad place in general. You take that many penalties, you go on the kill that often against a good team, it's going to come back to bite you. And this is part of how the Sharks are finding ways to lose. I mean, they go out and they draw these penalties. They make sloppy penalties in general. I thought that there were a couple that were maybe not my favorite calls. One on LeBanc where he fell and the guy tripped over his stick. But, you know, other ones, it was kind of like, guys, be more careful with these penalties. Be more honed in. And I understand that you're trying to slow down the opposition and you're, you know, not getting the calls that the opposition is getting. There's some inherent frustration there. But it's one thing to go on the kill and have to stop a big penalty. And it's another thing to just be consistently on the kill and making bad penalties and putting yourself in a bad situation all throughout the game. And that's exactly what the Sharks did. They were on the kill far too often, and that's going to tire you out, especially while you're on the road, especially while you're dealing with injuries. I mean, the Senators went on the power play 5 times, and I don't care how good your kill is, you simply do not want to go on the kill that often throughout the course of a game. But it is frustrating to watch because the Sharks at the end of the first period are up 2-1. Tomas Hertl is trying to atone for his sin of the turnover that he made in the game against Toronto, and you're feeling pretty good about things. And the Sharks in the second period came out with one of the worst second periods they've played the entire year. And it was 2 goals they surrendered to see the lead turn into a deficit, and just overall sloppy play and penalties and not good hockey. Shinny hockey, as Allison Lucan would say. But it was bad. It was not what you were expecting from the Sharks in that moment. And then it got, I won't say worse, but it didn't get any better in the third period. And you're on the wrong end of a 5-2 loss when all is said and done, and you're trying to fight back into it. And, you know, now you've got the second night of a back-to-back against a Buffalo team, which is not great, but any team that you're on going up against on the second night of a back-to-back, there are going to be challenges. And to the Sabres' credit, they are better than the Sharks. They have 2 more wins. And so that is something that you do take into account. They are, you know, by their record, a better team than San Jose. So there's no, you know, thoughts that, oh, well, this is a team that quote unquote San Jose should beat when you look at it on paper, which is something that I don't think we can say anywhere at this point. But you just look at where they are and you say, okay, this is going to be tough for the Sharks. This is a team that has more wins than them, and they're playing this team on the second night of a back-to-back in the East Coast time zone. It does not bode particularly well. And I'm not trying to be negative about the San Jose Sharks, but you had hope to try and match what you did on your last 4-game road trip, which was win 3 out of 4. And what happened in this one is you won game one, you gave away a golden opportunity to get at least a point in game number 2, and then in game number 3, the mistakes were so consistent, so plentiful, that it didn't matter what else that you did out there on the ice. It seemed like the Sharks were simply not going to be capable of overcoming those mistakes. And I don't know any team in the NHL that's capable of overcoming those mistakes. And unfortunately, that's just what the Sharks have consistently done this year, that they cancel out the positive things they do, like scoring twice in the first period and being in the lead. Like, that should be the first steps of a journey to a win on the road in the NHL. Instead, for the Sharks, it's their road to a journey of, you know, seeing a 2-1 lead turn into a 5-2 loss. And it's not like we haven't seen that before. We have. We've seen it consistently, and it's something that isn't going away. It appears to be, you know, consistent in the Sharks' DNA. And, you know, when you look at the lack of learning, I'm not saying this to be inflammatory, but it's like Benning should have learned from Tomas Hertl's mistake. And he should have seen that instance of where you need to be calm. You need to be heads up and not heads down. You need to not make a blind pass. You need to not throw the puck in the middle of the ice. You need to not turn it over in your own end. You need to not do things that are equivalent to your team shooting itself in the foot. And instead, the exact opposite happened. The exact same mistakes, or the genre of mistake, for lack of a better term, it was all made consistently, and the Sharks put themselves in that bad situation, gave up the goal, game is tied, and it all goes down from there. And my hope is that today the Sharks just rebound with a very effort-filled performance, that they have that type of bounce back and that type of clean game that we've been waiting for them to have. Now, I don't know if that will happen, obviously, but that would be my hope. Like, that would be the thing that I would look at and be like, man, it'd be nice if they just bounce back and had one of their best performances of the year at a moment where they do truly need it. You know, I don't say that, you know, to be hyperbolic, but I feel like, again, the Sharks need success, because I still feel like there's hard work. It's just there's no payoff, and that has a negative and, you know, bad effect on a team. The Sharks right now 3-6-1 in their last 10, 8-15-4 on the year, 20 points. You know, they're 6-7 on the road now. I would have liked to have seen them get that overtime loss the other night in Toronto if it was going to be a worst case scenario, because then they'd be 6-6-1. Even though, you know, it could be worse, obviously. But, you know, the Sharks are, they're not the worst team that I've ever seen by any way, shape, or form, but they are finding ways to lose, like we've heard them talk about. And that's the thing. You would like to see them instead find ways to win. You would like to see them find ways to come out on top, as opposed to finding ways to lose. And, you know, we know it takes time. We know where this team is in their timeline. I just didn't expect it to be this consistently problematic. I didn't expect the same issues to be repeating themselves day after day, after game after game, after week after week, after month. And one of the more frustrating things right now, and I know that injury plays a part in this, but you are no longer seeing them continually taking steps in the right direction. Like, I felt like there was progress being made, like they were trending in the right direction. And now you start seeing things continually being problematic. You start seeing them continually lose these games, falling short, making mistakes. And I know that this is a lot in what we were, you know, coming to expect this year, but you still thought that maybe it would lend itself to a better performance, to a, you know, a sign of growth in the overall arc of the season. Instead, it seems like they got better, stagnated, and have taken big steps backwards. And maybe these steps backwards will be countered soon by big steps forward. But at this point, I don't have faith that that is necessarily going to be what occurs, even though I have acknowledged multiple times it's not going to be a linear path of progression. But you would hope that more often than not, the steps forward would be countered by fewer steps back. And right now, it seems like there are some of the biggest steps backwards that we've seen over the course of the year. And this is a big moment for the Sharks to see exactly how they respond to all this adversity, to all the issues that they've been having. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. I mean, that's all you can wait and do, is see what happens against Buffalo today, and then see what happens when they get back home and get back on home ice, and see if they can put forth a better and or cleaner performance. Because that's the one thing I'm going to be paying attention to in this game. And it's what I've paid attention to in a lot of games this year. But it's like, how often did they turn the puck over? Where are they turning the puck over? And what's happening when they turn the puck over? What sort of chances is that leading to for the opposition? And again, it's not the only way to measure what the Sharks are right now, but I feel like it is one consistent measure. Like, if you're going to look at improvement for the team, you have to look at the turnovers and the costly nature of the mistakes. One type of mistake are the sloppy and or bad penalties. Another type of mistake is a blown coverage. Another type of mistake is a just bad turnover. I mean, these are the things the Sharks are consistently doing this year, and these are the things that we are going to be consistently paying attention to judge improvement. It's not just about the offense being good or better. It's not just about the defense being hard-nosed. We know that the Sharks' effort is always good, and I hate to say this, but effort isn't enough. And that's not to say that their effort in and of itself is not enough, but I'm saying a good effort over the course of 60 minutes is not enough for the Sharks right now to win hockey. They have to have a good effort. They have to be clean. They have to eliminate mistakes. They have to give themselves good opportunities. They have to be good on the kill, and they have to be good on the power play. Right now, those are a lot of things that have to go right for the San Jose Sharks right now if they want to get themselves a win in an NHL game. It's a lot. I totally get it. They have to do a lot of things right if they want to win a game, but this or these things are all what I am going to be looking for when they take on Buffalo today. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game sound, and we're also going to talk to Nick Nolenberger with the Barracuda just to get a sense of where things are with that squad. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Shabbat breaks in, though, in the corner, stops it. Smooth skating, Shabbat tosses back to the right point. There's Joseph, feeds to Giroux on the far side. 34 seconds left on the power play as Giroux back for Joseph. Now back for Shabbat, shoot, score! You give them enough time, they're going to put it in. And the Senators throwing it around there as Thomas Shabbat picks up the third power play goal of the game for the Ottawa Senators, and it's 4-2 Sens.
Can't take that many penalties against that team, and you know, some sloppy stick penalties that we can't have, and frustrating, you know, because I thought there was some things in our game that I liked that, you know, we had some great chances we didn't capitalize on, but I'm impressed with them. I mean, that's a good hockey team over there. I know what their record is. They've had some injuries. I think DJ's done a hell of a job keeping this thing afloat. They played better than their record, and when they get healthy, they've got a lot of ingredients to do something. So they've got skill, they got grit, and they're getting goaltending. So as much as I'm frustrated with some of the things we didn't do, I give them a ton of credit. That's a good hockey team.
All right, that is head coach David Quinn bringing us back in after we heard one of the many power play goals scored by Ottawa last night, which was a big reason why the Sharks lost. And listen, the penalty kill is going to be good. It's just not the end for the Sharks' penalty kill. It's still a good unit. Couple of things. They're on the road, East Coast time zone. Ottawa's got a good power play. The team is frustrated. They're dealing with injury. There are some illness going around the team. And it was due, like Shang alluded to when asking that question to David Quinn, there is a law of averages, and eventually you're going to have a bad night on the kill. And that said, I'm not going to be surprised if the Sharks kill bounces back and has a great night tonight against Buffalo. Like, that's what you're supposed to do in the NHL. You're supposed to bounce back from a bad night and have a good night. That is what Tomáš Hertl did after giving away a bad turnover in the loss to Toronto, which led to the game-winning goal. He bounced back and had a really good performance against Ottawa.
No, I want to make a difference every game. It's not because what happened last game or anything. Yep, you know, man. What happened, I'm here to be impact player, so you're trying every night same. You know, it's not like because I screwed up last game, you know, it would be different. I have to be there every night and try my best, and it was a good start, but we just kill ourselves.
Granted, Hertl is not acknowledging it in that post-game commentary, but to me, I guarantee he felt like he wanted to make something up for his teammates, and Tomáš Hertl is not to blame, just like Matt Benning isn't to blame, just like you can't look at a Sharks team like this that is consistently losing and point the blame. You can point out key errors and hope that guys rectify and don't make those mistakes again, but this is more than individual players having bad games or having bad stretches. Like, this is a collective team issue where there needs to be more accountability. There needs to be a more thorough atmosphere of not tolerating mistakes, and I'm sure that's hard for David Quinn right now because he's trying to not beat down his team. He doesn't want them to be overloaded with negativity. But I think that, you know, this has got to come from the players. They've got to all look at each other and be motivated to be better than they were the game before and not make the same critical mistakes, whether that's a turnover, whether that's a penalty, whether it's whatever it is. You've got to make sure that you are better than the previous game. In that sense, Tomas Hertl was better than the previous game. Now, could I say that his motivation was, you know, totally just off that last game? No, because Tomas Hertl, like he alluded to, he is supposed to be an impact player. He is getting paid handsomely to be an impact player, and that's exactly what he needs to do, and that's exactly what he did. That is his job, literally. But the Sharks did not act like they needed to do more than see Tomas Hertl try to atone for his sin in the previous game. It seemed like they felt like that was enough, at moments at least, and for the Sharks, it was that consistent finding ways to lose mentality.
I agree wholeheartedly. He's probably heard that 100 times from myself and a few other people. You know, it's a different thing every night. It seems like, you know, we cure one problem and another one pops up. So, you know, we've got to recover, and we got a game tomorrow night, and we've got a chance to finish our road trip at 500.
And again, big game tonight to see how the Sharks bounce back after a lackluster performance against Ottawa and see how they handle Buffalo, who, again, is not a great team, but they are better than the Sharks by record. And so I would like to see the Sharks bounce back and have a better performance than what we saw yesterday against the Sens. You know, this is what we hope from the Sharks, that one bad performance does not send them sliding. Now, there have been some losing streaks this year due to the fact that they have found ways to lose, and it's not just been abysmal play at all moments, but, you know, you would hope that they can try and salvage this road trip, and being 500 on the road, I have no problem with that. That, to me, is a successful road trip. That's what you're supposed to do in the NHL if you are a good team. You go 500 on the road, and you win at home. The Sharks, the main problem has not been the road. It's the fact that they're not winning at home. All right, we're going to switch gears and talk some Barracuda with the play-by-play voice of the Barracuda. We're going to bring in some Nick Nolenberger audio, and I was talking to him yesterday about just where everything is with the team.
You know, it's been really interesting. It's been somewhat of a teeter-tottering season so far, if you will. The team won its first four, then lost five straight. We've kind of been on this win one, win two, lose one, lose two type of situation. Mm-hmm. This team coming into the year, we were around the middle of the pack in terms of average age. Well, that age has kind of dropped over the last couple of weeks. Now we're in the bottom third in terms of youthfulness. So we're one of the youngest teams in the league. There's a lot of new pieces. And as I was diving into it, just looking at this upcoming weekend and why there's been some inconsistencies in the team's performance from a win-loss standpoint, a couple of things that I circled. One was fatigue. The team just played 13 games in the month of November. That was a franchise record. Two, you've got young players who are coming into the mix, still getting used to the professional game and the rigors that is professional hockey, because it is a grind. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you get maybe a day off a week, and in the AHL, the Pacific Division, we're busing a lot and we're traveling a lot when it comes to some flights, but none of it's private flying. It's all commercial flights. So it's a different animal. And I think it just wears on you. By no means are our players complaining. I think we've got it pretty good in the Pacific Division. But you couple the fact that you had a very heavy schedule in the month of November, and then you kind of dive into some of the details of the game. The Barracuda, from a rookie standpoint, their rookies have accounted for over 50% of their goals scored this year, which is really encouraging. So the players like a Bortolo, an Eklund, Gushchin, Robbins, these guys are producing and providing offense. The problem is the team has basically been in the bottom of the AHL in terms of goals for per game all year long. Now, that was due in part because the power play was really struggling. It was sitting at the bottom of the league for the first month and change. It has since awoken. They have power play goals now in seven straight games, so it's inching its way up the ladder, and that's helped the goals for. Now, defensively, there's been some struggles. The penalty kill, which has been really dynamic all year and really the bread and butter of the team, it's been sitting near the top of the AHL all year long. Well, it's been a little bit porous over the last couple of games, multiple power play goals against in the last two games against Iowa. So all of a sudden, you're not maybe getting the goaltending you had before. The offense is starting to turn around. The defense has been really ravished by injuries. Derek Pouliot, a veteran player, a former first-round pick of Pittsburgh, was really good at the start of the year. He's been out for the last three or so weeks. And Terry Hotteka is dealing with an upper body injury. His return, very too much to be determined. Mm-hmm. Do not know when he'll get back. So You've got recalls with Chychek and now Harrington, and the back end's been really thinned out. The goaltending position has been great, but again, you can't rely on the goaltending in the way that we have on a nightly basis. The young players have been scoring, but we haven't got as much depth scoring as maybe we anticipated. So it's been a mixed bag on why the results have been so up and down. But when you see this team play at its best, there's a lot of really exciting things about this group. And it makes you think if they can get it together, kind of get some of the kinks out of their game, tighten up defensively, get healthy on the blue line, they could be one of the best teams really in the AHL. Again, it's to be determined. They've got to prove it on the ice, but certainly the pieces are there, and that's an encouraging sight, especially coming off how things transpired last year, really thin from a prospect standpoint last season. Not really the case this year, pretty deep on that front. So there's been various issues, I would say, but also a lot of positives so far this year.
And of course, what many of us are wondering about, William Eklund.
Yeah, and he put on a lot of weight. I don't know the exact number, but from last year to this year, it was apparent that he was quite a bit more stout than he was the year prior. He's never going to be the tallest guy, 5'11", but he needs to put on some mass and needed to put on mass to deal with the rigors of North American hockey. And yeah, he's been great. His skating ability, his vision, his playmaking ability has been off the charts. And just like Bortolo, there's times when, you know, there's some erratic levels to his play. But overall, if you ask the coaching staff, he's done a lot of good things this year. And I think him beginning the year in the AHL and, again, building those relationships and friendships with the likes of a Robbins and a Bortolo, hopefully that's the future for the Sharks. That's been huge. He's hanging out with guys who are his age, which I think is really beneficial as well. Has been in the pro level for the last couple of years over in the SHL. Now he's with kind of his peers to a degree on this team. And a lot of prospects that are in the same boat as him, trying to get to the NHL, trying to hone their skills. But yeah, he's oozing with talent. There's a reason why they took him in where they did in the draft. And it's, you can't teach certain things in that skating ability, hockey sense, vision, playmaking ability. You've probably seen some of the highlights, but he's tried to pull off this spinorama move about 10 different times, and he scored on it the other day. But every single time that he's done it, he carries it up the right wing and he uses a spinning move to kind of get himself some separation from the defender. Every single time it's worked. He hasn't finished it every time. He has one goal, I think, on the 7-8 times he's used it. But every single time it's generated an opportunity. I don't know if that move is going to work every time in the NHL, but what it shows you is he's got incredible skating ability, ability to get on defenders quickly and then blow past them. I don't know if he's the fastest skater on the ice, but just his quickness and his fluidity is apparent. And it's a lot of fun to watch. And just watching these guys and the way that they scan and read the play and their ability has been, it's been pretty fun to watch. And again, as they get more comfortable, I think the results with the team will continue to improve as well. And as everybody kind of gets their game going as a collective group, everybody will benefit. So yeah, he's been, I would say so far this year, he's been as advertised, and all these young players have. So I think that's all you can ask for through a couple of months of the season.
And his thoughts on Thomas Bortolo.
And now he's come into this situation. He just has a really mature approach to him. If you ever interview him, he's really articulate.
Yeah.
I think he's really, he really thinks about his answers. He's not just spewing hockey talk, if you will. Really tries to put thought into it. And he's just a kid that's very mature for his age. And I was talking to one of his coaches a while back who used this term, very worldly. And I think that goes back to his upbringing and his background with his parents and with his grandfather. So yeah, he's been really impressive. Now, there's times, I think, with any young player, and this is just par for the course, where one night you don't see him and he was absent in a sense. And then other nights he's just lighted up. And he's had stretches where he has been the best player on the ice and he continues to put up points. And I think the points will just start to string together as he gains more and more confidence and gets more comfortable with the league. But it's been really encouraging. He's tied for first among rookies in the AHL in goals with 9. When he came in last year, he was more of a playmaker. He had 3 assists in his first game, played 2 games with the Barracuda, and then, of course, went with the Sharks. But more of a playmaking role this year, he's been shooting more and he's been scoring. So that's been good to see. And they've had him playing with Eklund and Robbins. So you have 3 rookies on one line, and it gives you an idea what the coaching staff sees with that group, potentially a line in the future. We'll see. But all the skill in the world, and they all get along off the ice, and they all enjoy each other, and they're all good buddies. And for Sharks fans, I think that's pretty exciting when you think about the future, because you're going to have a built-in chemistry when those players are ready to get to the National Hockey League.
Again, that is Nick Nolenberger, the play-by-play voice of the San Jose Barracuda, who got a 4-1 win over Tucson last night and take on Tucson again today at 3. Be sure to join us for pregame coverage ahead of today's game at Buffalo, starting at 3:30 live. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.